Check 1 2. Check 1 2.
Good to see everybody here this morning.
Good to see you this morning.
It is. For some of us better than others, eh?
Yeah.
Right. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Time for an attitude check.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We might as well go home. How could you have more enthusiasm than that? Sit down, Mitch. You're the preacher. You can't leave. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning, and especially those of you who are joining us on Facebook. Welcome to the Lexington Christian Church in beautiful downtown metropolitan Lexington, Indiana. Do we have any birthdays this morning? No birthdays this week. What about anniversaries? No anniversaries. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody will admit to it one of these days. We're here to praise the Lord this morning, to thank Him. This is Thanksgiving week.
Amen.
And so we will gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Let's stand and sing. Number 597. On your feet.
Blessed.
number 594.
Absolutely. Father God, we thank you so much. Just as the song said, thank you so much for all that you do for us, for all that you have given and remain giving to us, and that which is yet to come. And we know that the best is yet to come. So we always have something to strive for and to look forward to. So we do give you thanks in this season of thanksgiving. And Lord, no matter how much we say thank you, no matter all the blessings that we could name and give you thanks, which would take an eternity, it would not be enough. Because you gave your Son, who died in our place, who paid a debt that we could not pay, to receive a gift that we could not earn. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May be seated.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 260, Come Share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here, everyone belongs. Find the hour of forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all. Joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, He meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Amen. Brother Wayne Morris has our meditation this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanksgiving. Yay. This week brings us to Thanksgiving. It's an American holiday. It's been defined as a day on which one species of turkey stops gobbling so that another may start. And we also get to watch football. Have you ever considered how many ways we use the expression thank you? There are many more, but consider this little progression. Pay particular attention to the idea of a sense of obligation. When you make a purchase and the clerk hands you your change, you say thank you. Now the clerk actually owes you the money. Both of you expect that she will give it to you. And in fact, you're getting exactly what you deserve. Still, you say thank you. It's a social courtesy way of acknowledging that you are satisfied with the transaction, but there's no real sense of obligation there. Consider a little different case. A salesman at a car dealership also says thank you when you buy a car. Again, there's an exchange of value. You're getting what you paid for sometime. And the dealership is getting his money. But the salesman knows you didn't have to purchase the car from his dealership. Thank you means that he knows that. You had a choice and made it in his favor. The two sides are still equal in money, but there's a little more sense of obligation. Thanksgiving, as originally celebrated, extends this concept. God is under no obligation to the farmer to provide rain at the right time to protect him from hail and the elements. The farmer depends upon the elements. The pilgrims felt that God had done them a favor. He had been gracious to them. True, they had worked the soil, planted the crops, but having put the seed in the ground, they depended on God for the growth. Amen. The sense of obligation is much deeper now. There's a much greater case, however, which we celebrate at communion. God was under no obligation to us to send his son to the cross. He had every good reason not to. We were and are sinners. He is a just and righteous God. He owes us nothing. We borrowed the idea of existence from the great I Am. Yet, while still sinners, Christ came and became our sacrifice for sin that we might become the children of God. Thankfulness varies by two things, the size of the favor and the extent to which we deserved it. The favor in this case is eternal life and cleansing from sin. What greater favor could be bestowed? The extent to which we deserved it, not at all. So then, as we take communion, we should do so with a thankful spirit, knowing that what we did not get, we did not get what we deserved. We got his love instead. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day, and we know every day with you is a day of thanksgiving. Please be with us as we gather around your table this morning to partake of the bread and the juice, and that we do so with a rightful mind. Be with us throughout the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room, Jesus took bread and broke it, blessed it, gave to each of them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat of it, all of you." And when they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant, my blood poured out for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Number 588.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in.
You may be seated. And let's turn to number 595. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Mitch, would you like to take the verses on this?
Huh?
You want to take the verses on this?
All right, sorry, go ahead.
All right.
The song we just sang was what I originally had picked out for a special. That's why Bob asked me if I wanted to take the verses. So we're going to do something a little different. Turn your hymns to number 589. And we're going to do a reading, Summons to Thanksgiving. Now, the light colored is my reading, the leader, and you all follow the dark print. So, is everybody turned there? 589? All right, here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time.
You hold your hands and set aside the desires of every living thing. We give
thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. Amen. Huh? All the time. All the time. Amen. I think there was a good message just right there in that. So we are grateful that we have this opportunity. Now, the message was kind of a surprise. We had originally had on the schedule to be over at the Presbyterian Church with the Presbyterians, and of course, because of COVID, we're not doing all that. So this message is a Thanksgiving message, and it's called Owl or Eagle. Owl or Eagle. And the text is from Psalm 103, the first five verses. And as soon as I get there, I'll read it. Too bad they don't have church service or anything. 103. I'm almost there. Next page, it looks like. Verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? And there's your eagle. Now, I'll share this message with you. From that text, let's buck the trend. Instead of focusing on turkey and football, let's spend a few moments this Thanksgiving season actually giving thanks. Imagine that. Isn't that a new idea? Let's say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 103 is a chapter in the Bible with no clouds. It's devoted exclusively to counting our blessings, to lauding our Lord and Savior. It's one prayer in the Bible with no dismal moods, no petitions, no problems. It's just praise. We haven't time to study the entire psalm, so let's look at the preamble, the first five verses as we read. It begins, praise the Lord. To whom is he speaking? To himself? King David is giving himself a pep talk. When was the last time you talked to yourself like this, saying, self, you've been down in the dumps, fretting, faint-hearted. Shake it off. Cheer up. Count your blessings. I don't know about the rest of you, but I talk to myself all the time. I mean, you know, when there's nobody else around, you live alone. I mean, who else are you going to talk to? I talk to the dog, but it doesn't pay a lot of attention. Yeah. What blessings should we count? In these verses, the Lord takes us on a little tour. And the first stop is the courthouse to remind us we've been declared not guilty. God forgives all our sins. Later in verse 11 and 12, the psalmist uses a graphic comparison, telling us God's forgiveness is as high as the heavens, that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. His love and forgiveness is as infinite and inexhaustible as the universe. That's pretty big, isn't it? How do we measure God's worth? No way. Next on the tour, we stop at the hospital, for God heals our diseases. In Psalm 103, it is not asserting that it's always God's will to heal all our diseases physically in this life. That runs counter to the overall teachings of Scripture and to our actual experience. God can and often does give healing in answers to prayer. But even Paul wasn't healed of his thorn in the flesh. God said instead, "My grace is sufficient for you." But what of Paul now? If we had a telescope to look into heaven, we'd see him healthy, happy, and disease-free. There's no cancer in heaven, no heart disease, no diabetes. God will heal us in this life or through the process of death. But in either case, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, on our tour, our next stop is at the slave market to remind us we've been purchased and set free. In other words, we've been redeemed. In past days, cruel masters threw slaves into deep holes where they sunk in brackish mud. The holes were sealed shut, and the slave was left hungry, terrified in the darkness amid rats and rodents. That's a picture of the eternal condition Satan desires for us. But Christ saw us when we were enslaved to that cruel master and purchased us with his own blood. We're redeemed from darkness and the pit. You talk about things to be thankful for. Above all. Well, where do we go next? From the pit to the palace, to the throne room. We are crowned with love and compassion. In the Tower of London are the British crown jewels, the imperial state crown, the one Queen Elizabeth wears for state functions, is covered with, are you ready for this? 3,733 jewels, including 2,000 diamonds, 200 pearls, 17 sapphires, 11 emeralds, and 5 rubies. It is perhaps the most precious collection of stones and jewels on earth. But when we come to Christ, he crowns us with something infinitely greater. His love and compassion. No jewel can match that. Nothing on earth can match that. He wore a crown of thorns that we might wear a crown of glory. Wow. You talk about love. So, next on this tour, we visit the banquet hall where God satisfies our mouth with good things. He meets our needs. What needs do you have? Financial? Physical? Emotional? Do you need peace and strength? When we seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things are given to us. When he is our shepherd, we shall not lack. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he fulfills our desires. So much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And these are just the basics. These are the main things that as Christians, we've all been given, we've all been guaranteed salvation, redemption, his love, his mercy, his grace. We don't think about these things as much as we should. The devil sees to it that we get so busy and so frustrated with life that we don't stop to think about all the good things. But what does the scripture tell us? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. The list goes on, but it's all the goodness of life. He says, focus on these things. What happens when we take our focus off of those things? Well, we begin to feel down. If we're not careful, we begin to feel abused or slighted. And, you know, we feel like nobody loves me is the ultimate bummer we get. I'm so alone in this life. There's nobody else that knows what I'm going through. Wrong!
Jesus has been through it all, and many other people have been through it too. We're never alone. You know, that's the reason why they started support groups, which I don't have a lot of stock in, but they can be helpful in certain areas. But the main support group we need is this family right here, our Christian family. Because I guarantee you, whatever you're going through, somebody here has been through it at some point in time. And you may not be the only one going through it at that time. You know, there was a famous actor who once said, life is hard. When you're stupid, it's harder. If you don't turn to Christ, you're kind of stupid, I think. Because that's where we get our peace. That's where we get our strength. He has it all. There is nothing that you can ask from God that he doesn't have. Now, there may be things we ask from God he doesn't want us to have. That's a different matter. And if we allow him, he will show us why we don't need it. And if he doesn't in this life, he'll tell us when we get there. Just hang on. In the previous psalm, that is Psalm 102, the psalmist was afflicted and troubled. In his pessimistic state, he sees himself as a brooding, lonely old owl. There's your owl. Sad, silent, and grim. But one chapter later, as he remembers to praise the Lord, how does he feel? Like an eagle. Strong, majestic, soaring. The next time you're needing a pep talk and there's no one around to give it to you, learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
Tour God's blessings and learn to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So my question is, are you living as the owl, downtrodden, beat up by this world and the bad and sad news that's going around? Or are you living like the eagle, free, flying high above all of the problems of this world and letting God fill our hearts with his love, his compassion? We all can make that choice. We all must make that choice. And it's not just a one-time choice. We have to make it all the time. When we get bad news from the doctor, we have to choose right then. Am I going to let this cause me to doubt and fear and fall apart? Or am I going to trust God? Because I know that even if ultimately my life is taken from this, whatever it is, I'm going to be with him. I have nothing to fear. We all have to make that choice. Does that mean that we don't feel a little bit like, I don't want to go right now? I mean, that's just natural. But it's also selfish. We don't want them to go. We don't want us to go. But you know what? It's not up to us. It's up to God. You remember that part we talked about being redeemed, where he purchased us with his own blood? We belong to him. He can do with us as he pleases. Fortunately for us, he pleases to bless us and to give us joy and happiness. But there's no guarantee that we won't have problems. There's no guarantee that we won't have challenges, diseases, loss. That's just things that we go through in this life. So the only cure for it is to trust him. To trust him no matter what. How are we doing? If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord. And come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 591. For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God. It's not your normal invitation hymn, but we are invited to give praise and give thanks to God. Let's stand and do that.
Creation, thanks be to God.
the truth that still confound us, oh.